All right, Ralph. We will call you Ralph, and that's fine. Do you share? I mean, are you on top of the charges and now countercharges about General Allen, the latest general to be caught up in what are claimed to be inappropriate emails? His side says they're not inappropriate at all. What's going on?
Well, no pun intended. I'm trying to stay abreast of the situation. look, you know, General Allen's supporters are saying, well, it wasn't 20 to 30,000 emails. It was only several hundred. Now, this is our top commander in Afghanistan. He's also the guy who, when anything goes wrong, blames the troops. He's always the one saying, our troops have to respect Afghan culture. And, you know, he's not the guy down bleeding and dying. He's one of those chateau generals who doesn't spend a lot of time at the front. Well, now we know how he's spending his time. He's spending his time with so-called flirtatious emails with a socialite, groupie type back in Tampa, Florida. Now, you know, I don't care if it's only one email exchange. He's got to have better things to do with his time. He's got a family. And, you know, it's just not appropriate. And it may be all innocent. They may have never had a relationship, but it's distasteful. And there are three issues going on right now. The biggest for the fate of the country is, what did the White House know, and when did it know it, and why did it do what it did on Benghazi and Petraeus and everything else? The second issue is the Petraeus scandal specifically. And the third issue that hits me personally is what appears to be an ethical collapse among our senior generals and admirals. Now, you've got General Petraeus, who set himself up because he set himself up as a paragon of virtue. He was the guy preaching ethics. He was fierce in his prosecution of General Order Number 1 in Iraq and Afghanistan. That's the no-fun order, no fraternization, no sex, no beer, no pornography, nothing. And he was hard on his subordinates when they had extramarital affairs. So that's one issue. But that's not even the biggest. And General Allen plays into that. You also, at Fort Bragg this month, you've had a court-martial or court proceedings against Army Brigadier General Jeffrey Sinclair, accused of forcible sodomy against female officers in his chain of command, subordinate officers, and various other sexually related charges. Just today we learned that General Ward, former AFRICOM commander, four-star, is being fined $82,000 and reduced one grade. He'll retire as a three-star. Now, if that sounds harsh to anybody, let me tell you what that is. You know, he ran up almost $1 million on the taxpayer's credit card, it appears. He's still going to retire with an annual retirement pay of over $200,000, and the $82,000 is nothing compared to what he's going to get as a retired general on boards and for the defense industry. But had I done a fraction of what Ward did as a lieutenant colonel or major or captain, I would have been, at the very least, put out with a dishonorable discharge.
Okay,
gone to jail.
Let me get this straight, because I'm not on top of this one. The General Sinclair story I know about.
It's ugly.
And it's horribly ugly, because that's sodomy rape, I mean, and to subordinate personnel. So that's clearly a criminal charge. What's the story with General Ward? I don't know. What
Ward
is he accused of
ran
exactly?
Up his credit card. He took his wife on unauthorized junkets. He booked nights at luxury hotels. He used his aides as personal servants. He misused military vehicles for years. And, you know, and here's the troubling thing. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs argued against him losing that star as a retiree. I mean, these guys, it's really sad. It's just not the officer corps it used to be. And when you get back to, like, for instance, Sinclair and his vicious behavior, a senior officer or any officer in the chain of command, to me, was always in loco parentis. You may be younger than a bunch of the NCOs working for you, but you're essentially the father figure. And it was tough, you know, for me in intelligence, I sometimes had some pretty hot women working for me, and I never, never, never made any innuendo-type remarks, nothing. In fact, I went out of my way, it was tough, to portray myself as this, you know, cold, sterile, uninterested guy, because you got to do that. And so it's a violation of trust on so many levels. But we've had scandals in the Air Force, in the Navy, now General Allen in the Marines. Something is wrong. And I think it goes back to the generation of officers who started being promoted to higher rank under Bill Clinton and under the disastrous Rumsfeld Pentagon, now under Obama. We've been promoting generals who are politically malleable, amenable. We haven't been promoting, with some beautiful exceptions, such as General Jim Mattis with the Marines, great Marine. Mostly, we're not promoting the fighters. We're promoting the guys that are Washington savvy. And it hasn't served our military well. But at any rate, that's my personal problem, that we're having too many scandals.
I think everybody would agree with that. Just to add one other scandal to the level, let's say that General Allen's people are telling the truth, that he has never been alone with Jill Kelly, that there was never anything inappropriate about their relationship. What you're saying is that it's still inappropriate for our chief general in Afghanistan to be wasting his time emailing back and forth with a buxom socialite in Tampa. Okay, fine. But isn't it outrageous that the DOD should leak information about this investigation at this stage, when General Allen has not yet been accused, to the best of my knowledge, of anything?
Well, several things. When you say DOD, Department of Defense, it is vast. And there are a lot of political appointees. And if you want to plan a story about a military guy, instead of leaking it from the White House, you have one of your people leak it from DOD, if that was the goal. Also, it might have been somebody who disliked General Allen, but it has to be an insider, because not everybody would have known about this. So I think if it's DOD, you can trace it back to some either disaffected or influenced person in the greater office of SecDef Leon Panetta. And by the way, Panetta has been a very good SecDef. No criticism of that guy. But the culture of leaks is ugly, and it works on all sides. I don't like it. General Allen deserves the benefit of the doubt until we learn more. That's unquestionable. My point is, though, it's still distasteful for this guy to be doing flirtatious emails, no matter how innocent, with a socialite back in Tampa when he's got a water run, family to look after. And by the way, the troops are really taking it in the shorts. Allen has not done a good job, so I wouldn't rule out somebody leaking this who just wanted to get Allen for his incompetence.
Well, and the fact is, he was leaving Afghanistan anyway.
Well, he was going to a reward job at Supreme Allied Commander Europe and Commander U.S. European Command. Great job, great mansion in Belgium, get a personal chef who's great cooking. I've eaten there. And somebody clearly didn't think that was right after Allen's performance in Afghanistan.
Let's talk about some of the acting and actions regarding Benghazi. Have all the questions been answered to your satisfaction, Ralph?
No, as a matter of fact, the questions keep popping up. And, you know, it's troubling that during the election, the establishment media just refused to touch this issue and allowed the White House to get away with a Keystone Cops series of cover-ups, not just a cover-up, but series of them. And so we just talked about one issue, that the ethical decline in the officer, senior officers. Now the other big, one of the other two big issues is indeed the cover-ups of the cover-ups. Now, the White House is asking us to believe that, or asked us to believe, and still does really, that the terrorist attack, the planned, carefully calculated terrorist attack on a U.S. consulate and CIA facility on the 11th anniversary of 9/11 was purely coincidental. First, they wanted us to believe it was a result of a video that we now know had nothing to do with it. They stuck to that story stuck to it closely for 5 days and loosely for 2 weeks, even though it was preposterous. The CIA knew within 24 hours it was a terrorist attack. Anybody with a brain looking at it knew it was a planned terrorist attack. I said it on the O'Reilly Factor the first night after that it had to be planned. Well, okay, fine. But they got away with this, and I think one of the factors in the timing of General Petraeus' downfall, and they're now asking us to believe that it was purely coincidence that General Clapper was informed of Petraeus' problem and decided to fire him late on Election Day. That, you know, it's a coincidence that didn't happen before. Michael,
yeah.
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
And
so that's another coincidence. And all this, I personally believe that, you know, Dave Petraeus still has certainly some ethical bedrock. He appears to have been coaxed, cajoled, or strong-armed into going along with the preposterous "it was the video" story for a long time. And I think the White House feared what he would say when called to testify under oath on Capitol Hill. And so they didn't want to tip the scales, they didn't want to tip the hand about Petraeus during the election. Because had they done so, one, it would have been a distractor as a minimum, but two, Republicans might have said, oh, look, they're firing a national hero in the middle of an election campaign, bad, bad Democrats. They didn't want to wait. They couldn't wait much longer because they don't want him testifying on the Hill as CIA director. So on election day, cynically, they tell Director of National Intelligence James Clapper that Petraeus, he did a bad thing, knowing that Clapper is a rigorous guy and is going to tell Petraeus to resign or be fired. And that way, with Petraeus resigning in this scandal, even when he goes to Capitol Hill to testify, and I believe he will, he's damaged goods. And, oh, by the way, the bonus is they get to derail any political aspirations he may have had for 2016. But the White House wants us to believe this is all a coincidence. They want us to believe that even though Attorney General Eric Holder, we know he knew about the Petraeus scandal for months, we're supposed to believe that he never told his close friend, the president, never warned him that, we might have a scandal on our hands with Petraeus. No, the president, I mean, they managed it beautifully, so the president has totally clean hands. He could pretend he didn't know anything, and that he could shake Dave Petraeus' hand and say, gee, Dave, sorry, thanks for your service, see you later. I mean, these guys are really, really good. As a tactician and strategist, I will tell you, I have never seen such magnificently ruthless and effective political operators.
Okay, but here's a question about the ruthlessness and effectiveness, Ralph Peters. And number one, are we meant to believe that at the time that General Petraeus was up for appointment as the director of the Central Intelligence Agency, that no one in the White House, no one investigating him, vetting him, knew that there was some kind of problem with his relationship, which was then extant? Now, they claim they hadn't started an affair yet, but it had already raised eyebrows, his relationship with this woman. Why wasn't that an issue before he was appointed to this crucial post?
The best subordinate in an environment like that is a subordinate you know a secret about, that you can always pull out of your back pocket and nail him or her. But I'm not sure they did, though. I can't leap to that assumption. Yeah, there were rumors, there were suspicions, but the investigation had not yet begun. Dave Petraeus claims the affair had not begun until took off his uniform. By the way, that doesn't make it better, because if anything, the director of the CIA's post is vastly more sensitive and subject to scrutiny than any four-star general. And by the way, here's the thing. I just heard, when you were on the interlude, when we were listening during the commercial break, somebody was on Wolf Blitzer saying, well, this isn't that big a deal. It's two consenting adults. They totally misunderstand the ethic. In the CIA, there are extremely strict rules against fraternization with locals, against adultery, et cetera, because you can't have somebody subject to blackmail. And the director of the CIA must set the example.